If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the Supreme Creator. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is Every Dark Dream Disappears with Awakening. So if you're ready to awaken from all those dark dreams, let's take a deep breath and attune yourself with your highest divine levels of consciousness. Just visualize yourself coming right into perfect alignment as a column of pure white divine consciousness, entering through the top of your head and flowing down your spine and your nervous system and throughout your entire body. Activate the light in every cell of your being. Do that now with a deep breath. Flood your entire being with divine light and the divine sound current, because you are literally an embodiment of the divine light and sound of the supreme all that is. You are the incarnation of the living word, the living light, and the living love of Source. That is who you are and what you are forever. And you'll feel your body start to respond with the integration of that energy. You'll find it begin to adjust and do what it needs to do to make room for that accommodation. And just observe what it is that your body is doing. Mine is rocking backward and forward, and the heat is increased in it. If you have your eyes closed, you may see colors. You may see light. Very often the violet light, or the blue, or the gold, or the white. These are the energies that we're working with in spirit. Very good. So let's chant the hue three times and allow that to clear all the static that may be there from your day and whatever it is you've been involved with. And just create a clean space for the receptivity of this transmission this evening. Okay, deep breath. Hue. Awakening to reality dissolves fear, and it expands joy and freedom, because every single negative scenario has emerged out of the illusion of separation. What we're seeing playing out on the physical level in the third dimension is simply the conglomerate of surfacing subconscious issues that have to be brought to light, because we are moving into the next dimension, and those energies cannot go into the dimension into which we're merging. So everything has come up and has surfaced for the last time for the evolving life wave of present humanity. So unless you're directly involved in that scenario, you don't have karma with it, okay? So don't get involved with it if it's not your business. If it's your business, it will be in your face. If it's not your business, don't get involved with it. Okay? Very simple. So enlightenment is literally without end. There are worlds within worlds and dimensions and realms beyond our wildest imagination. Divinely birthed of pure love, without the single vestige of the illusion of separation, which manifests as every dark dream. So as you awaken and keep expanding your ability to tap into higher and higher dimensional realms, you find that every single bit of fear falls away as the illusion it is. It just vanishes in the light of present reality, which is pure love. So not a single fear or dread that you have is real. Get a sense of that now. Not a single fear or dread you have is real. And absolutely none will come to pass. Why? Because it's simply not the divine will. So as our vibrations keep raising in this ascension process, we'll keep birthing into higher and higher realities. We're in different stages of that now, depending upon the level to which we have opened to this light of awakening. But if you are beginning to live in heaven now, you're in those higher realities now. And they're realities of pure love and joy and freedom. Jesus said that you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So every time you encounter truth, you have a sensation of being released, a sensation of freedom and expansion and relief. You always have a sense of relief when you come into the knowing of truth. So notice how every awakening to supraphysical dimensions of reality erases fear and gives rise to happiness and joy. Everyone says they want happiness, don't they? And yet, initially, none of us knows where to look to find lasting happiness. The last place we think to look is within, although every great illumined master always says that the kingdom of heaven is within. The dimensions that will fulfill you are found from within. The whole of our awakening is an inside job, of which the outer only offers an arena for the testing and the trying and the experimenting and experiencing of different planes of consciousness. But to tell you the absolute truth, nothing whatsoever of any lasting value is taking place on the physical dimension in the outer world. It's a big play of consciousness. It's a big karmic drama. An arena for the working out and resolving of ancient grievances. It's nothing more than that. And it doesn't deserve any more attention than the present moment in which you find yourself, in which you can always raise your vibration into that higher dimension of divine love and dissolve the lesser energies that you can do. So temporary happiness we found in relationships, youth, health, creative expression, career, raising a family, traveling, acquiring knowledge, religious involvement, fame, fortune, possessions, you know, things of that nature. But none of these things last beyond its designated season and cycle. Everything in your life has a season and a cycle in which it enters your life and in which it departs your life. So whatever this world has to offer, it will take from us at some point. So that's the main lesson the physical world has to teach us, that all material things are impermanent and will come and go in our lives. Therefore, we fear losing the people and the things that we love. And we resist change, and above all else, we fear death with its possible loss of our identity, which, let me assure you here, is absolutely impossible, because your identity is part of the identity of God, and it's absolutely impossible for you to cease to exist and to lose your identity, which I would spell with a capital I. We're not talking about the personal ego. We're talking about that eternal self with a capital S that we share in and with as a fractal of the divine. So what tremendous relief from this fear and dread comes with the awakening to our greater ongoing multidimensional life, a life lived beyond this physical world and body. Realizing that we are immortal beings where there simply is no death. So the first sign of awakening is to begin to question life's purpose. Is this all there is? Or does life have a deeper purpose and meaning? Many, many people are beginning to ask that question because the nightmare is getting quite dark. In the outer world, a lot of people are really, really up against a rock in a hard place. They're very frightened, insecure. They don't know where to get a firm footing. I know those of you that listen to these seminars, you've already gotten into that walk of light and illumination. But for the many people in which you work and share your life, they're in deep stress and travail. And so they're going to be asking those questions, and they're going to be asking them of those of us who seem to have found happiness and peace in the midst of it all. So the main questions are, who am I? Where have I come from? Why am I here? What is my purpose? And what will happen to me when I die? So these are the questions that all seek to find the answers to, whether they realize it or not. Every question leads to one of these major questions. That's really what people are asking behind every other question. So our journey of awakening will lead us to the answers we seek. And as each one is resolved, our fears disappear, and our inner joy increases. In fact, the clearest indicator that one has encountered genuine truth is that feeling of inner relief and joy. One's whole being comes alive and sings for joy. So you might say the divine spirit's signature sign of approval is that sense of relief and settled peace. When you get that, whenever you've asked the question, that is God giving you the high five. That's it. And you'll feel that settled peace. Everything goes quiet inside. That's the divine spirit answering your question. So it is that peace and joy that characterizes every person of genuine self-realization. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't go through outer challenges, and some go through very terrific outer challenges, but they stay in a state of God realization that remains unaffected. They're in that pure joy and peace, regardless of the surface agitations of the material life, they simply live above the storm. And that's what we need to learn to do too, to live above the storm. So every expansion of awareness increases one's happiness and sense of freedom. So notice, as you've awakened to the spiritual dimensions of life, how you have come alive inside. How is your life different today from the first day that you awakened? You know, truly, it's like you've been reborn and awakened to an entirely new dimension of life that didn't exist for you before your awakening. Last night I watched my favorite film, I think, of all time, which is a spiritual journey odyssey film called Out on a Limb. It's the story of Shirley MacLaine and her true story of how she awakened and came to be who she is and what she believes. And my other favorite spiritual journey person is James Twyman. And so I have posted on my Facebook timeline the Out on a Limb film in its first and second part so that you can watch it. But if you don't go to my timeline, you can find it on YouTube. And it is so worth the watching because you'll be able to identify your own process in watching what Shirley MacLaine came through in her awakening. And James Twyman, I highly recommend his books, Emissaries of Light and The Secret of the Beloved Disciple. These are wonderful journey books that I think are must-reads for people because Shirley MacLaine wrote the book Out on a Limb as well as did the miniseries that is the film. So her initial reaction was fear and resistance and confusion. And so you'll find many people have that same reaction. They're afraid because all of a sudden it shakes what they have taken to be real. And so they react negatively. They react with resistance. Wait a minute, you're changing my whole thing that I thought was real. You're changing things that I've relied upon. And so they have this confusion. So it seems odd that she would react fearfully and negatively to something so positive and wonderful, but that's the lower self resisting change. So just notice that if that comes up for you or the people that you're working with and counseling, your family members, and realize it's just an initial reaction. They need time to process. That's why you have to feed them slowly, you know, not give them too much at one time. Because they have to assimilate it. It took Shirley 3 days in which she wandered around and wrestled with herself before she could come to some semblance of acceptance of what she was being taught by her friend David. So it all begins with initial feelings of discontent and dissatisfaction with life, with the life you've been living. All of a sudden, even if it's been wonderful, on the surface, you feel like something's missing, and you don't know what it is, but you're just not whole within yourself. You're not fulfilled. Maybe your life is seemingly ideal on the surface, yet you're still feeling empty inside. So it was like that for me. There was something within me that felt like it was going to burst unless it found expression. For me, it was a love, a power too expansive to be contained in the life that I was living at the time. Yet there was nothing wrong with my life at all. I simply had grown beyond the outer parameters in which I lived. So check if that's true for you. Have you outgrown the place that you're at right now? Are you feeling like you're going to explode because there's something that God has deposited in you as a spiritual gifting that is bursting to be released? Just check if that's so. So God has the script for each one of us. He's written the script and has allotted each one of us a particular role and a particular way to manifest supernatural glory. A glory that can only be anointed by the higher divine spirit, that we of ourselves cannot fabricate, imitate, make up. We actually are lived by something greater that takes over the life at some point and lives through us a larger life than we could ever imagine or create for ourselves. And that's what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about that something that's bigger than the life we think we are here to live. And we don't have a thing to say about it, because it's our divine destiny to manifest that, whatever it is. And it may be quite odd. When you examine the lives of great men and women who have attained God realization, you'll find every single one of them has a very different approach, a very different nature, and a very unique way of bringing that divine source energy through their instrument. Very unique. There's no two alike. So, what happened to me when I found myself in that state where I thought I was going to burst with the gift that God had placed in me? I absolutely had to take that blind leap of faith. I had to let go where I was, even though I had no idea whatsoever where I was going or how any of it was going to happen. I didn't even know what it was that was supposed to happen. I just knew that I had to take a leap of faith. So in my case, everything was left behind. As I moved forward by faith, I had nothing visual or in any way that could guide me in the outer. The security of my weekly paycheck, my formerly ideal job, my loved ones, friends, established lifestyle, which were all wonderful, living in my favorite location here in Southern California, all of that fell away as my new life unfolded. And it unfolded without my manipulating it at all. I didn't know enough about it to manipulate it, for one thing. I'm sure I would have tried. What I noticed was that the initial fear vanished. And what came in its place was this indescribable sense of freedom and inner joy. And empowerment. Oh my gosh, when I stepped into that fear, it became empowerment. And then synchronicities began to show up. Seemingly, paranormal happenings and encounters and people who would arrive on my doorstep that found their way to my home through divine guidance, all sorts of marvels filled my life, along with a powerful sense of being divinely moved into an orchestrated purpose and calling that could only be called my divine destiny. So my new life took on a life of its own, and all I had to do was hang on for the ride. Literally, that's all I could do, to tell you the truth. But I literally had no control at all in this. I simply let go and trusted Spirit to guide me. And I didn't hear spirits. I just had an inner impetus, let's call it that, that kind of pushed, kind of felt like a push in a direction. Very, very gentle, very subtle, but also very strong. And so I moved on that. And what was so interesting is that all fear, insecurity, and self-doubt vanished. That was certainly prevalent before. But as I stepped out in faith, it just, and all of that vacillation and insecurity and everything, it just dropped, it totally vanished. And again, strange in that outwardly there was no established visible form of support. Everything was in her. So everything in my life manifested for me out of the invisible dimensions, all guidance as a silent inner knowing, kind of like the instinct of a homing pigeon in a sense, because I definitely, that part that was guiding me knew where I was going, even though I didn't know at a conscious level. There was something that was definitely a homing instinct. Instinct, so to speak. So something within me was guiding me, and I totally trusted it. I totally yielded to it. And as I did, there was always this feedback of joy and happiness and peace and support. There was a strong internal sense of rightness. So notice when you have that. The whole world around you may be naysaying and criticizing you and judging you and trying to make you fear and doubt yourself. But those are just the voices of the tempter. You just really stay loyal and tuned in to what you're receiving and totally ignore everything else. When you have that strong, strong sense that it's right, don't let anyone talk you out of it. I had a very wonderful spiritual mentor at the time, that when I found my guru, Sai Baba, and there was not a single doubt in my mind that was my guru, he said, well, if you follow him, you and I will not be friends anymore. And so that was the last time I spoke to him. And he came in my dreams and tried to coerce me to follow him in his spiritual path. And I said, you must leave me alone. My heart is recognized, my teacher, and nothing on earth will prevent me from going to him. And so, even though this was very frowned upon in the groups that I was then moving with and interacting with and teaching, because they were very much of the mindset that you don't have a physical teacher, you work with the inner masters on the inner planes, here I'd found my teacher in the physical realm. So I had to ignore everybody and just, even though Sai Baba was virtually unknown at that time, I just went for him and I found my home. And he led me to my home, which is within. So sometimes you go without to find the within, but it's still an inner journey that you must take. So now many, many decades later, I know that when it is time for your creative spiritual emergence, absolutely nothing can stop it, any more than you could prevent labor and childbirth when it's time for that birth to take place. So you can't really, I don't believe you can, mess up with your divine appointed destiny, because it's God arranged and it's God facilitated and it's God within you, as you, through you, that is doing it. And you just hang on for the ride. So looking back at all I had to leave behind, which at the time was very scary for me, and was met with great disapproval from certain ones, and I just knew that I had to do regardless. And you know, some of them said just awful things. Things that normally would really put you off and cause you to doubt your actions. So that's how the dark forces, if you want to call them that, the egoic forces within other people and within yourself, try to sometimes circumvent your divine destiny. It's part of the game, you know, it's part of the setup for the play of duality we have down here. We have those people that are in our cheering section, and we have those people that are designed, so to speak, to try to undercut and head you off at the pass and distract you and get you off on a tangent. So these two forces will always be prevalent in everyone's life in the lower dimensions of polarity and duality. You always have those countering forces. But looking back, oh, what a grace-filled, marvelous life unfolded as a result of my walking in total trust and blind faith. And what opportunities opened up as a result of my obeying my inner senses. Gosh, none of this would have happened for me if I had been allowed to settle for comfort and security in the material sense. It just wouldn't have happened. But boy, you know, I literally went out on a limb, like Shirley MacLaine did. So my inner joy and self-trust and confidence and freedom and inner peace just kept expanding as I kept awakening to deeper dimensions of reality. And they keep going to this day. Every day there's a deeper widening and opening and freeing and releasing and ascending to higher realizations. And my creative expression flowed. It flowed so profusely through so many different channels, and I was on my own outwardly. And yet inwardly, I never felt such a divine sense of support and associates and connections. They were surrounding and supporting me at all times in the invisible, but as a very tangible sense of companionship. So this has only deepened and continued to expand up until this very moment when I can truly say that I'm experiencing fulfillment in every area of my life. You know, it's a wonderful thing to come to that point where you feel whole and filled and fulfilled. So let's just take a deep breath together with that. And just contemplate where you are in that equation. Are you in a situation which you feel like you've outgrown? Are you expanding into different and wider levels of realization, which perhaps have transcended the belief structure and the religion or the God box that you've tried to cram your life into? Where are you? You know, life is so simple. Just be yourself and enjoy this present moment. Just be yourself and enjoy this present moment. Why? Because there's nothing else you can be but yourself. That's it. You can try to pretzel yourself into somebody else's idea of who and what you should be. But sooner or later, you're going to break those chains. You're going to break free. You have to be yourself. To be yourself mainly involves allowing yourself to be without censoring, labeling, and heaping demands upon your head. Letting yourself be. But noticing what creates conflict and disturbance and learning how to weave your way through these areas, just like you would in a crowd. Get this perfect analogy here. When in a crowd, you just keep moving forward, don't you? You skillfully look for openings as you weave around and through a crowd of people. You don't stop and fixate upon any one person, do you? Of course not. You'd be, you know, arrested as being some sort of a freak. But you just keep moving forward toward your destination, which is to get beyond the crowd, get to wherever it is you're going. So this is a perfect metaphor for how we are to move through the different situations we encounter in life. You just keep moving forward. That's what you do. And this is also how we move through the crowd of thoughts and moods and feelings as they flow through us. We leave them alone, allowing each to go their own way. But we keep moving forward, our attention upon where we're going. And we step free of the crowd, whether it's an inner crowd of thoughts and feelings and emotions, or an outer crowd of people. Same thing. So the only problems arise when we stop and fixate on any one thing, any one thought or mood or feeling or emotion or situation. When we stop and fixate on any one thing, we create a mountain out of a molehill. And then when we label it to our disadvantage, almost always, and attempt to fix and change it, we enter into a real battle with our own nature, which is simply one of loving flow and acceptance and accommodation and moving forward. But when you attempt to fix or change what is, you're actually fighting against the truth that is, which is perfect. Everything is perfect, just as it is. Doesn't need fixing. It just needs to be realized. For example, let's apply this same idea to a crowd of people. Say you're passing through this crowd, and suddenly you single out some person, a stranger, in that crowd, and you've labeled this person as lacking in some matter, and you stop and try to fix them. Well, not only would you be impeding the flow of that passing crowd, but that person would resent and resist your rude intrusiveness. And you would have created a block in that flow of life. You would have created resistance and conflict within yourself and your own levels of consciousness, as well as that of the person you're trying to fix. So you see how you create your own blocks? By resisting what is, you've created a fight. Because everything in the bipolar worlds of duality and polarity, they depend upon that resistance factor and conflict to engage with you. That's why Jesus in the Bible said, resist not evil. Because whatever you resist and oppose, you reinforce and feed and hold it in place. So in using the analogy of moving through a crowd, can you see how you create blocks and conflicts and resistance and trying to fix yourself and other people, and you only create a mess? So you are not the thoughts, moods, and feelings that pass through you. You are, however, the witnessing awareness. And you were witnessing and aware of the crowd you were passing through, but at the same time detached, with no need to become personally involved. Like that, allow thoughts and moods and feelings to pass by you without identifying with them personally. That's your big key. Don't take anything down here personally. Not about you. It's about each person working through their stuff, whatever stands in the way of their wholeness and their self-acceptance and their love, their forgiveness. That's what it's about. It has nothing to do with you. So there's nothing wrong with you that needs fixing or changing. Nothing that needs to be labeled and fixated upon. Allow all things the freedom to freely move through you without you latching on to them. They'll only stick where you have an unhealed area, where you have a thorn signifying an unhealed energetic that magnetizes a particular situation to you. So remove the thorns. So we're learning to live at a higher state of consciousness, and we do that by raising our overall rate of vibration. The highest rate of vibration in existence as pure, unconditional divine love. The next would be pure, unconditional, selfless service. The next would be goodwill and kindness toward all. The next would be gratitude and appreciation. And the next would be looking past the outer form and behavior of people, recognizing that the divine dwells in every heart. And by that looking past, you have forgiven. Forgiveness is not looking at a wrong, but looking past the wrong to the Son of God that is before you. Thus, you know, when our expression is one of divine love and selfless service, goodwill and kindness, gratitude, appreciation, forgiveness, we are actually living in a very high suprahuman vibration. This would be a level higher even than the human state. This would be the suprahuman state of vibration. And these states develop out of the realization that we are each an embodiment of God, simply having a temporary human experience. And we lose the fear of failure. As we awaken to the reality that we are always equipped to handle whatever our destiny brings into our life, the fear of failure falls away. But no matter what shows up, you are divinely equipped to handle it with no exceptions. You may not know that until you're in the process of handling it, because the solution and the situation always come back to back. But nevertheless, it will show up in the exact measure that you need at the time you need it. And that applies to everything, every single thing in life. This same principle applies. So we will never encounter anything we cannot handle and transcend. And, you know, it's not by our ego. You know, it says in the Bible, not by might, but my spirit, saith the Lord. So it's that divine spirit operating through us that enables us and equips us to do all things. Now, we've had a lot of negative scenarios that have arisen out of the illusion of separation that have been paraded throughout the planet, and every form of media, and through many, many of the channeled material, the New Age material, that poses a very dualistic good and evil battle and conflict kind of worldview. And I find, unfortunately, that many of the people coming in now to the work that are young, and just coming in to do this work, they have never really studied any of the ancient wisdom teachings. They have no background or foundation in truth, in the truth teachings called Sanatana Dharma, or the immortal or perennial teachings of wisdom that have come from the great rishis and sages of the East, and also some in the West, but predominantly they come out of the East, the Eastern traditions. Because all the root of all teaching and truth on the planet dates back to the Vedas, which some say are over 10,000 years old, but they're the only teachings that did not have a human origin, but they came through the divine sound current and were heard inwardly by the great rishis in very high states of samadhi. And later they were heard as chants. So as they came through as the sound current, which then manifested as these divine Vedic chants, only later, much, much later in the later yugas, were they finally written down, because it was always a sacred oral tradition that was communicated to the initiates of the rishis. And so all of religions have come out of the Vedas. It's kind of like grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And where they're based on love, they are true. but where they're based on a strong dualistic interpretation of good and evil and all of that, they have gotten mixed in with what was at one time called the priestcraft, when for political and manipulative reasons, the teachings were used to manipulate people through fear and intimidation and the threat of excommunication or eternal damnation or hellfire. And so a lot of these teachings are distorted now. And people tune into those thought forms, or they've become indoctrinated into some of these belief systems in previous incarnations. And it gets into the subconscious mind, and then when they write or channel or teach, it comes out as a form of mental infection. But it's not pure. It's not clean. And you know how you can tell it's not pure and clean? It gives rise to fear. It doesn't set you free. It causes you to doubt the goodness of life, the goodness of God. It causes you to doubt the love which underlies the happenings of everything, that upholds and sustains everything. And it causes you to doubt yourself and other people. It causes you to doubt that there's even God, because how could God allow these horrible atrocities to happen on the planet? And yet God has nothing to do with these atrocities. These are nightmare fields of energy that are being regurgitated out of the deep recesses of the subconscious mind. Each person's own little private hell world that they project an outer reality out of. So when a teaching gives rise to fear, it is false. Just as truth sets you free, fearful negative scenarios bind you in fear. So there's no evil in highest truth, because there's no separation from God or good. So there's no judgment, no eternal damnation or hellfire, no eternal evil. It's temporary ignorance of involutionary forces. You see, you have the involution, which is those incoming forces that have not become immersed in the human experience yet. And then you have the evolution of those souls that are moving into higher states of realization and consciousness. So you have this, as it were, those that are entering into greater materiality and those that are ascending through light beyond materiality. You have those forces that are at play here. But nothing real is actually taking place here in this physical world at all. It is simply a play of consciousness, a colossal dream, a play of light and sound projected upon the blank cinema screen of creation. So it's only a surface projection upon this screen. You know, no matter how many bloody battles are enacted upon that cinema screen, when the light is pulled back from the screen, it's pure white and it's got no bullet holes. It's been untouched by the scenarios projected upon it. In an exact analogy, the projection of the distorted subconscious mental patterns, the craziness that we project on innocent creation and innocent one another's, leaves all of it totally unaffected. We're affected only by our thoughts. We see only ourselves in the others. We see only ourselves being portrayed in the world. And all negative scenarios arise from the illusion of separation from God or eternal good. So ultimately, all awaken from the dream and find that in highest truth they've never left home. They're in the heart of God. They're in the heart of love. They're in the heart of eternal life. We're not bodies. We are immortal. We have never been born. We shall never die. We have gone into dream states in which we have believed we have been encased in a body in time and space. But there's no separation, no time, no space, no distance, no death, no loss of loved ones. All of your desires must be fulfilled in dream after dream. We could call those happy dreams, with infinite opportunities and do-overs. You get as many chances as you want and need. We hear a lot about the shadow government, the Illuminati, and all of that. It's all big nonsense, big drama. The reality is that we have 63 great masters, a world teacher, and numerous avatars and great rishis and masters throughout the planet who are all guiding and fostering this earth and its humanity. The real seat of government is the center where the will of God is known, called Shambhala. It exists in etheric matter, physical etheric matter, approximately 17,500 feet in the Himalayas, in what has been called the death zone, because very few people can go to that height and not get, you know, deathly ill. But it's a real place that I have visited quite a few times in my soul flights, in my spiritual bodies. And anyone can visit there that has the sufficient vibration to be able to travel there in the soul. That's the real government. And the Lord Sanat Kumara, who would be called the Father by Jesus, is the real governing regent, not regent, but the real governing presence on this earth, that has got full charge of atomic power and all power, and is governing the earth in the divine plan, which is loving and just and a beautiful one. That's the real government. That's the real one. The shadow government is literally that. It's a shadow. It's a machination of the collective subconscious ego mind that's intensely paranoid and afraid and doesn't yet know the fullness of the divine self. Until you have really realized the divine self, you can't see clearly. You're going to fall for these scenarios of these evildoers and this and that and the other thing. And then, of course, you project it and it seems to appear in the outer world because you believe it's that's the way it is. But there's very many, many, many people that have not even a vestige of that as their reality. Not a vestige of that. So there are beings in the Himalayas today that are thousands and thousands of years old. Some of them have been in samadhi. Within the what might look like a hill, inside there would be a crystal cave, and they're in suspended states of higher divine consciousness for centuries and thousands of years in some places. You're not going to find them because they're hidden in this age, and you have to be in self-realized states of consciousness to encounter them inwardly or, you know, in the case of very, very few, outwardly. There are those who have been in the presence of the immortal Babaji, who's said to be some 5,000 years old and who has vowed to stay here on this planet in the physical body until everything has ascended beyond this lower vibration in this age, you know, as we're moving into the next golden age. So he's going to be here for, you know, throughout the whole graduating class. We have a world teacher that is physically on the planet today. who at some point is going to declare who he is on national television. He's been on television several times, but has yet to declare himself. And this is the one that all world religions have expected, been looking for, and have called by a variety of names. But it's best just to call him the world teacher, and then we don't start fighting over names. And then you have those cosmic guests, like Satya Sai Baba, a great cosmic avatar, that is the literal regent of the Lord of the World in Shambhala, Sanat Kumara. He's actually the stand-in for the God presence on this planet. That's the real government. You have now some 40 of the 63 masters who are ascended beings who are willing to come out and live openly in the physical world and are in process of doing that right now. They're externalizing and living in the physical planetary world. Where are they? Well, there's one in every great city, which is actually a center of consciousness, like a chakra. They're in every major world city, and they, let's say, are not trying to hide themselves, but your vibration will decide whether or not you ever encounter them. It's not like you can go just willy-nilly and knock on their door. But many of you are disciples of those masters, most of whom, or many of whom, are well known in the esoteric literature, and then there's some that are not known. And that's why, very certainly, we are moving into the golden age. There will not be a polar shift. There will not be a devastating world destruction and third world war. We're not going to nuke ourselves out of existence. There's not going to be a devastating wipeout calamity that's going to take us all out. If any one of those things were to happen, we would be shifted to the next dimension where it doesn't exist. So the things that you fear are simply not going to happen. And the things that are so divinely beautiful and encouraging and hopeful are unfolding. But for you to realize them, you need to awaken to that place inside you that is open to that joy and that love and that trust that can only occur when you take the time go deep inside yourself and find that rock-solid place that only the mind and your conditioning has temporarily veiled. And if you pray, if you ask with a pure heart for the Lord to give you His thoughts, His perspective, His interpretation for every sad dream, every fear that you have, turn it over to the Lord and say, Lord, I offer this to you. Give me your thoughts. Give me a pure heart of love. Let me only see the good and the divine and the holy. Teach me how to live that divine way in my daily life. And all of the forces of goodness and grace will come around you and help you to move beyond the dark dreams and to live as an awakened and radiant incarnation of the Beloved, which is who you truly are. So with every expansion of our awareness, our sense of spacious freedom and omnipresence deepens, and fear and grief totally vanish at some point, until this great love is all we are and all that remains is our reality. and not one thing you dread and fear will come to pass, for not one of them is real. And every dark dream will disappear in loving bliss. So that is what you have to focus on if you want to keep your vibrations high and above the fray. And just allow God to use you in beautiful ways, in loving ways, in gentle ways. And it's quite safe to be an innocent child seated on the lap of the Lord. If you have that simple nature, it will serve you well in the times in which we're now passing through, as all the last vestiges of unresolved, unhealed, unforgiven issues surface for their final emergence and release. And so let go. And allow yourself to be carried across the threshold into the golden age of pure love. So let's take a deep breath and go out chanting three Anai hues. Deep breath. Anai hues. Raise your hands and send the light of your loving heart to every man, woman, and child, to every sentient life form on planet Earth, to all the kingdoms of nature, to all the elemental spirits and devas and angels, to all of the masters, to all everywhere. May all be blessed. May all awaken to the love that they are. May all be happy. May all have peaceful minds, and may all dance for joy in the awakening reality of divine love. God bless each one of you, and namaste.